Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity in the house of the Lord. Another grace that has been given to us to hear the word of the Lord. And as always, we know the entrance of your word brings light. And we declare that that will be our portion today, that the light of God will enter into our lives. The Bible says to provoke one another unto good works and so forth. Thank you, Lord. Glorify yourself in the message of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I've got an exciting message for us this morning. Pressing toward the mark. That's pressing toward the mark. And I'm going to start here in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. And I will start at verse 10. Philippians 3 and verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Be made conformable unto his death. Now, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Well, folks, you know, it's not just the resurrection of the dead. You're going to find out as we go in this message, you know. And he said, look, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in any other thing that ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what is this mark? You know, that an apostle like Paul was pressing to. He said, I'm pressing toward the mark for the high calling. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to let you know that there are many callings. But there is a very high calling of God in Christ Jesus that this man was pressing toward. He wasn't satisfied, you know, with just, you know, being a believer and so forth. You know, so we're going to find out how we need to do that. And we're going to find out what it is that we need to be doing. You know, I mean, should we just, you know, that some people are just satisfied with going to church. You know, just go to church on Sundays. You know, that's good enough. Others are satisfied with being saved, you know, and that's good enough, you know. And others, you know, pressing a little more and so forth, you know. And then they get baptism of Holy Spirit, you know, maybe they speak with tongues and so forth. And then they think they have arrived, you know, and so forth like that. But I want to show you that there's degrees and varying things in the kingdom of God. Amen. And you need to press in and press in more. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. And this is where we are going to preach from this morning. This is Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. And in this story, we're going to see the progression of the anointing of the Lord, if you will. So let's go. I will start at Ezekiel chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 5 verses and then jump to verse 9. Afterward, he brought me again into the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. I'm reading from Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 1. And the forefront of the house stood toward the east and so forth. And the waters came down, you know, from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Verse 2. Then he brought me out by the way of the gate northward, and led me about by the way without, unto the outer gate, by the way which looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters out on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Amen? Amen. So we see that, you know, in his first degree, if you will, the waters were to the ankles. Then again, he measured 1,000 more cubits. And then he brought me through the waters. And this time around, the waters had risen from the ankles to the knees. And then again after that, he measured another 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through, and the waters had risen, you know, to the loins. So folks, I want you to see this progression. First, the waters were at ankle level. You know, that's ankle deep waters. And then he went further, and then the waters were already to his knees. And then he kept pressing forward, and then we see that the waters had come to the loins. And then afterward, he measured another 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the rivers were risen, and this was now a water and a river that, you know, I have to swim through. He said, look, I've got to swim now. I can't wade through this water anymore. Now, a lot of people are satisfied with ankle deep. And I remember, sometimes, at the beginning of summer and so forth, you know, you want to get in the swimming pool and so forth. You know, maybe you haven't been in it all year long. So sometimes people want to test the waters, and they're just sitting down. I do this sometimes. I just sit down on the edge and put my feet in the water and say, the water is too cold. You know, I'm not going in. You know, and so forth like that. Isn't that just like people? People don't want to go in deep with the Lord. They just want to go to church or just do a few things and so forth like that. But I'm going to show you today that there is a high calling of God. Amen. Amen. That is beyond going to church. That is beyond speaking in tongues. That is beyond all of these things and so forth. Because the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33 and verse 3, he said, call unto me. Hallelujah. And I will show thee great and mighty things which you have not yet known. Doesn't matter which level you are at, God has greater things that you don't know. Hallelujah. But the only way you're going to get to know those things and experience those things is you must press in. Hallelujah. There are some people that are satisfied with the waters that are up to their ankles only. And they say, well, I've already arrived. Paul said, I don't count myself to have arrived. Yes. I keep pressing forward. I forget those things that are behind only to give God the glory, but I press forward to greater things. Amen. And then when you keep pressing forward, when the water is at ankle deep, you press forward. You find out that the water is down to your, up to your knees now. And when you begin to press forward, the water begins to rise up to your loins. And then when you begin to press forward, the water is up to your neck. When you begin to press forward, the water is, you know, it's an overflowing of God's presence. Hallelujah. It is something that you cannot even wade through. You have to swim. And if you're not careful, you know, it's like, look, you know, if you go out to the beach and so forth, you know, you can stand on the shore and then you can see that tide coming in and it will just rub against your feet and so forth. And then sometimes people move back and so forth. But, then you find out there are some people that are a little more daring. You know, they take that little surfboard, you know, and they wade into the water and then they go far in. And the next thing you know, waves. You know, and they have to glide back and so forth. You know, but as long as you stay on the shore and as long as you stay, you know, in your comfort zone, you know, the water will only be down to your ankles. Amen, folks. We need to get away from our comfort zone. We have got to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon us. Hallelujah. We must seek the Lord deeper every single day. So, let me tell you a pitiful story here, you know, of some people that didn't want any part of God. In the book of Exodus chapter 19, at verse 5, here is what the Lord said. Exodus 19 and verses 5 and 6. Now, this is what the Lord wanted for the people of Israel. This is what he wanted. He said, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests." That's what he wanted. He wanted every single one of them to be priests. He wanted every single one of them in that kingdom that he was building, the priesthood. But, you know, and he said, "Look, you know, you will be a holy nation unto me," and so forth like that. You know, that's what he wanted. That was his desire. God did not want to appoint a prophet over them and so forth. He wanted every one of them to be in the kingdom of priests. Hallelujah. You know, that's what he wanted. But listen to this pitiful story in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, starting at verse 18. "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, 'Speak thou with us.'" You know, we don't want to hear the voice of God unless we die. "You go hear the voice of God, and then you come tell us. You know, we don't want any part of God. You go do it," and so forth. And from that day on, Moses became a prophet unto them. Are you still with me, folks? You know, every one of them should have been a prophet. Every one of them should have been a priest. Should have been a priest, you know, if they had taken the voice of the Lord. Lord said, "I'm inviting you into a kingdom of priests." You know, and Peter referred to this same thing in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. He said, "You are a peculiar people, a holy nation, a chosen generation," and so forth. You know, "You are a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood," he said, "that ye should show forth." He said, "God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Yes. "That you should show forth his praises." Hallelujah. "Ye are a chosen generation." Yes. "A royal priesthood." Yes. Royal priesthood means a kingdom of priests. Yes. Just like it says in Exodus 19. He said, "You are a peculiar people," which is what God said, "I want to make you a peculiar treasure, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." God wants every single one of us to be priests and kings. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation. He said, "God has made us kings and priests unto our God." Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God did not make just Peter and Paul and James and John and all those early apostles and so forth. God need not make only those people kings and priests. Listen to this in the book of Revelation chapter 1. Here is what God says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, if you read all of it, from starting from verse 5, but verse 6 is where I'm going. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth." You know, "unto him that loved us and washed us," you know, "from our sins in his own blood, and had made us kings and priests unto God." Hallelujah. Amen. God has made us. This is what God, this is where he wants us to be. But he was pitiful. Those people didn't want any part of God. They saw the glory. You know, Moses even had to put a veil on his face. You know, these people, and the veil is on Moses' face until this day. When the Jewish people read the law, they still can't figure it out because they didn't want to hear the voice of God. So that veil is still on their face till today. They still can't understand it. You know, but can you imagine somebody that doesn't want the presence of God? "I will die to enter into the presence of God." Praise ye the name of the Lord. "I will give anything to see his glory." Amen. But these people say, "Oh, we don't want any part of that. You go hear it, and then you come tell us." Well, and then Moses did hear it, you know, and the glory was only upon him, because the rest of them didn't want any part of God, you know, and so they didn't get it. But God says, "You must press in." Amen. Amen. We must press toward the mark of his high calling. Now, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 12, that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence, and the violent are taking it by force. Now, these are not people that are not willing to launch into the deep. These are not people that only want ankle deep, you know, waters. You know, they're not taking anything by force. You know, but you know, they just, you know, they want somebody else to spoon feed them. That's not what God wants. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffering violence. Those who are violent in their desire of God, those who are passionate about seeking God and getting a hold of God. The Bible said, God looked and he found no man that takes a hold of the Lord. Therefore, his arm returned salvation unto him. He looked everywhere. He couldn't find anybody that really got a hold of God. All he saw was churchgoers. Folks, we are way beyond that. Hallelujah. We are way beyond churchgoers. Praise God. We are even way beyond Pentecostal and all these kind of things. You know, because what do the Pentecostals do today? They speak in tongues. And as soon as they speak in tongues, they think they have arrived. Folks, the Bible says in the last days, these Pentecostals, they will be like the Laodicean spirit. They will say, I am full and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. You know, and I got all these fancy big buildings that we've built and so forth. Isn't that like the Laodicean church today? That's exactly what they are doing. Everybody thinks that because they can do this and so forth, or some people think they can ride fancy cars and so forth. There are even people that think that, you know, your connection to God is measured by your, you know, physical affluence. You know, some people preach this kind of thing that, you know, if you have this and you have that, that shows that God is blessing you and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things. God will bless you. Amen. Praise God. That one is automatic. You know. Praise the Lord. But what he wants is, God wants us to seek his face, not his hand. You know. Many people are seeking the hand of God. When you have need, God help me. Help me to pay my bills. Help me to pay my school fees. Help my this to do that. And so forth. God will help you. But are you saying, Lord, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory lest I die. Is there somebody in the house that wants to see the glory of God? The Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 3, when God would appear to Moses, the first thing that God did for Moses was to show him a sign. He showed him the burning bush. But the Bible says that Moses, when he saw that sign, he said, wow, now I will turn aside and I will see this side. I will go deeper. Now, when God shows you something and you don't go deeper, you will never hear the rest of the story. Amen. Amen, folks. Turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 3. In case you are wondering, is that really in the Bible? Yes, it is. When God would call Moses, you know, after all that and so forth, that, you know, God wanted to send him. Of course, he ran away from Egypt and all that he did, and God wanted to send him back. Listen to this in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. But the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside. Now, prior to this, Moses never heard the voice of the Lord. He never had an encounter with God, but God showed him something that was to draw him in. Now, most of the time, what God shows us is to draw us in. But if we don't turn aside to see the great side, if we don't go deeper, that's all you will get. You know, so this man, he said, wow, I will now turn aside and see this great side. You know, why the bush is not burnt. And notice verse 4. Verse 4 is very critical. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. See, when the Lord shows you something, gives you a taste of something, you know, like, you know, speaking in tongues and so forth, you know. But you don't turn aside to go deeper. Well, that's all you will get. You know. But the Bible says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, let him also pray that he may interpret. Amen. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 13, in case you are wondering. So if you are speaking in tongues, then you should go deeper and pray for the interpretation of tongues. There's also another gift that's called interpretation of tongues. And if you can interpret tongues, you should pray for the gift of prophecy. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, because the Bible says, greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues, unless he interpret, so that the church may receive edifying. And if you can prophesy and so forth, why don't you go deeper and believe the Lord and begin to give you word of knowledge? Amen, folks. Amen. Does not the Bible say, covet earnestly the best gifts? Is this in the scripture or not? You know, it is God that chooses, it's God that does all these things, but it is our place to search and to seek. Amen? Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. Amen, folks? God will conceal the thing, but we who are the kings, we must search it out. Amen? So it is God's glory to conceal it. You know, and how does he conceal it? He doesn't just give it to everybody. In fact, the Bible says, cast not your pearls before dogs. You know, so God doesn't just give everything to everybody. He's going to see those who are going to be the worthy seekers. So he starts out by a little thing. He dangles it, if you want, if you will, puts it out in front of you like the, you know, the flame of fire, the burning bush, and so forth. And if Moses had said, well, I don't know about this, and walked away, he would never have had that encounter with God. But he turned aside and said, I want to see this side. You know, so when many of you are in ankle deep water right now. There are many people in this church that speak in tongues, but that's all they do. There are even some people that have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some people are satisfied with just going to church. Or some people say, well, you know, God did great things in my life last year or 10 years ago or whatever. You know, but Paul said, forgetting what is behind, I press forward. Hallelujah. Do you have a testimony as of yesterday? Do you? What is it that God has done in your life recently? How many people have you turned to Christ recently? You know, what great things has God done in your life? Doesn't the Bible say that those that believe in me, hallelujah, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover? Yes, how many people have you laid hands on that they recovered? You know, when you go down to anywhere, you know, are you shining for Christ? Or are you just, you know, content with being a church goer? Now, folks, let me tell you, in case you are still wondering, I want to show you that there are degrees in the kingdom of God. There is stuff that God he lays these things out. You know, now, I know that it is God that does the choosing. And I know that it is the mercy of God. You know, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 9 and verse 16, so then it is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. But I promise you, unless you run, you know, if you don't crawl, you cannot walk. Right. Amen, folks? Right. And if you don't walk, you cannot run. And if you don't run, you are not likely not to be able to fly. Because the Bible says, you know, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. But those who are going to mount up with wings as eagles, they are those who have already learned the art of walking and running. Hallelujah. Because if you don't know how to walk, I mean, can you imagine a baby that didn't know how to crawl? They always crawl before they walk. They must walk before they run. You know, they have to even run before they can do high jump and so on. You know, so that is how it goes in progression. But let me show it to you in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to read from verse 40 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, in this chapter, Paul was describing the resurrection. And he laid out a good argument, you know, because of some people that were saying there's no resurrection and so forth. So he was laying out his argument, you know, to show, you know, to teach about the resurrection, you know, and to, you know, to prove that there indeed is resurrection. But in this place, he goes on to show the degrees and the things that are in the kingdom of God. By revelation, we understand this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 40. He said, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. You know, so we find that terrestrial is, you know, earthy and for the land and so forth, and celestial is heavenly bodies and so on. So God has all these things in his kingdom. And he said, look, the glory of the terrestrial is different from that of the celestial. You know, and so on. There is one glory, verse 41, of the sun, and another glory of the moon, so you see that they are all different, and another glory of the stars. And one star differeth from another star in glory. All the stars of God, they all have glory, but they have different glory. Because God knows what he's doing. Amen. But he puts that yearning, you know, in the heart of the people. You know, you say, well, you know, if, you know, well, you know, since the scripture says, you know, that it's God that does these things, well, why should I even bother? You know, it's God, you know, whatever, ko sera sera, whatever will be, will be. Well, you know, I've said it many times before, I don't even like that song, you know, of whatever will be, will be. What I know is what God commands. We must press toward the mark. Hallelujah. Now listen to this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to read from verse 20. And I want to show you that God, he has this mixture of things, you know, in the house of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold, there are also vessels of silver. But there are also vessels of wood and vessels of earth. And there are some to honor and some to dishonor. In any house, even in your house, there are, you know, you go in your kitchen, there are different kinds. There are some pots that are more expensive than others. They're not just all the same. Even some people have silverware. They have some special ones that they keep for special occasions. But they have some other not so expensive ones that they use all the time. There's always these things there. You know, it's not just all the same. If you think it's all the same, you've got another thing coming. It is not all the same. In a great house, like God's house, there are different kinds of vessels. There are vessels of gold. There are vessels of silver. There are vessels of precious stones. There are also vessels of wood and, you know, all these kind of things and so forth. Well, do you know that there is even a mystery? This is a great mystery, not known by many, that even in the house, the Bible says, let them both grow together until harvest time. The tares and the wheat together. Because when they are growing initially, you know, when you first plant, you know, even corn and so forth. When I was a kid, you know, we used to plant corn and so on. And the first few days when it grows, it looks just like grass. You know, like this Bahama grass or something. They look exactly the same. And if you are trying to weed out the grass, you might weed out the corn as well because they look just the same. But in a few weeks, you know, when the corn begins to come out differently and so forth, you know, you begin to see the fruit, by their fruit you shall know them. Amen. That's right. You know, so, you know, but it, you know, same thing. You know, the Bible says that, look, the rain falls on the earth, but the same rain falls on the tares and the wheat. If you have a garden, you know, and the rain falls, the same rain that is making your good crop to grow will also be making the weed to grow as well. How many of you know that? And if you don't take time to pluck out the weed, they will soon overgrow the garden. You know, they are gaining from the same rain. That's why he says that in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, for the rain that falls often to the earth and so forth, and the earth drinks it in, and it brings forth good things to the Lord, that earth is honored. But the one that brings forth briars and, you know, so forth, the end is to be burned. You know, so we see that, you know, what God is doing, you know, he said, wait until the end time. And at the end, you know, God will separate the tares from the wheat. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. But Paul also gives us a good understanding by the grace of God. He put it down in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he would explain this business of precious stones, gold, silver, hay, wood, and stubble. He would say, look, he said, I am a master builder by the grace of God. You know, I put out that foundation. Let every man be careful how he builds upon it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. He said, for other foundation can no man lay other than that is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. So you find that, you know, people can be, you can be building gold. You can be going for the gold. Or you can be settling for the wood and the hay and the stubble. It's right here in the Word of God. Some people are going for the gold. It's like when they go to the Olympics and so forth like that. You know, some people are content just to participate. Well, I tell you what, if I was ever in the Olympics, the only thing I would want is the gold. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Amen. I don't want to just participate. Why should somebody else get it and not me? You know, I want the gold. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, so the gold, the silver, and the precious stones on one side. But then even among those, there's still degrees. There's precious stones, there's silver, there's gold, and so on. You know? And then on the other side, there's wood, there's hay, and stubble. Right? If any man's work shall be made manifest, you know, the day shall declare, because it will be tested by fire. You know, and so forth like that. You know, and if any man's work which he has done abide, which he has built upon that foundation, you know, then he shall receive a reward. You know, and the reward is the price of the high calling. Amen. That's a reward. You know, when you run, the Bible says, know ye not that all run in a race, but only one is crowned? Therefore run ye, that you may obtain the crown. Amen. Amen. You know, don't just participate in the race. Yes, you know, run that you may win the crown. Yes, folks, you know, when I was a kid, I was in track and field. You know, I never liked to be second place. You know, I always wanted to win the gold. Because what's the point? Praise the Lord. You know, because, you know, that was a great separation between first prize. First prize got this big trophy, you know, and I won a few trophies in my days. First prize got this big trophy and everybody else got nothing. You know, and I was like, my goodness, if there's a trophy, I'm going for the trophy. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are many people that run in a race, but only one is crowned. Therefore run, that you may obtain the prize. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't just settle for participation. Settle for satisfaction? No. You must press in toward the mark. Amen. Amen. You know, so, but he said, look, if any man's work suffer loss, well, you know, he will get no reward, but he himself will be saved, but it will be scarcely as though by fire. Behold, I come quickly, bringing my reward with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. You know, so, you know, what is your work? Well, the Bible says, you know, he said, look, teach those people who have obtained salvation that they may be careful to maintain good works. You know, after that we are saved, we must maintain good works. We must press in. We cannot just say, oh, I am saved. You know, I am saved. Well, let me tell you, folks, there are a lot of people that will be saved. In fact, in the book of Revelation chapter 7, the Bible says there are, you know, like the sands of the sea that came out of great tribulation. Sands of the sea. We say, as far as my eye could see, in Revelation chapter 7, we say, they came out, you know, they all came out. You say, who are these? And so forth. He said, these are they that came out of great tribulation. There are a lot of people. Finally, they will wake up in that great tribulation, you know, when they should have escaped. Because the Bible says, God has not called us unto wrath, but to obtain peace by Christ Jesus Christ. But when people do not wake up, they wake up too late in that great tribulation. And there will be many that will be saved. But there is a group. In Revelation chapter 14, the Bible says that follow the Lamb wheresoever he goes. You know, he said these are the first fruits unto God. So we see that even when you are in harvest, you know, the farmer, after they've got the former rain and the latter rain, you know, when it is time for the harvest, the fruits don't ripen at the same time. There is always the early harvest. And with the early harvest, they go usually with baskets. That's right. They go with the baskets and then pick out the ripe fruits. And then all the others are still green. But they, you know, the ripe ones, they just take a basket in hand and pick out. Because, you know, you can just pick a handful of ripe ones. But when the time for the harvest comes, when the main harvest, when everything is ripe, they need to bring a trailer. How many of you are still with me? There is a trailer of people that are coming out of the great tribulation, folks. They are like the sands of the sea. But I tell you, in Matthew chapter 25, there is a wonderful story there that the Bible says that there were 10 virgins that went out to meet the bridegroom. You know, the Bible says that 10 of them, I mean, 5 of them were foolish. They took the lamps, but they didn't have extra oil. We've preached on that many times. The other 5 were wise, they had extra oil and so forth like that. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, all of them. But I tell you, folks, the bride does not sleep on the eve of her wedding. Amen? Amen, amen, folks? Amen. Well, the bride was not one of those people. They were just virgins. They were bridesmaids. The bride does not sleep on the eve of her wedding. You show me a bride that's going to get married and sleeping the day before. They don't do it. You know. But at midnight, there was a cry made. Well, somebody made the cry. The person that made the cry wasn't sleeping. It could have been the bride. I said, hey, You know, bridegroom is coming. You go out to meet him. You know, so I tell you something, folks. There are many categories of people. There are those who are foolish and those who are wise. But even there is a higher degree of those that were not even asleep. Hallelujah. The wise and the foolish were both asleep. But there was a group that were not asleep. They made the cry and said, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." At midnight, there was a cry made. Who made the cry? Somebody, some people, some group made the cry. Now, you see that we find various degrees in what God is doing. Now, the summary of this is this. Where are you with God? Where are you? I want to let you know, folks, that no matter where you are, according to Jeremiah 33:3 that we read, if you are here, God can bring you to here. Amen.
Amen.
And if you are here, God can take you to there.
Amen.
And if you are there, God can take you to beyond.
Amen.
You know, there are some things. I love to say this. I say, look, sometimes we use these superlatives to express God. We say God is the greatest and so on, and God is this and so on. You know, sometimes people say, you know, it's just because we cannot find any words to describe God. There is actually no limit to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So sometimes people will say he's greater than the greatest because there is really no way to describe his greatness. You know, and the things that God has, picture this, folks, what God has for you, just like one scripture says, hasn't even entered into the eye yet. What God has, you know, what God has for you compared to what you have is like the ocean versus a bucket of water. And you can take your pail to the ocean and keep getting water as much as you want. The ocean will never be depleted. How many of you can say praise the Lord? What most people have is just a bucket of water. But God has this ocean. The Bible says, "My cup runneth over." God anointed my... God doesn't want to give... Everything about God is in abundance. Hallelujah. It is in running over portions. That's what he does. You know, Jesus, the Bible says, he was given the Holy Ghost without measure. He got a completeness of the fullness of the Godhead was upon him. But all of us still have that Holy Spirit by measure. That means you must get more. Hallelujah. That means you can get more. In the book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and the Holy Ghost came down like cloven tongues of fire upon them, and they began to glorify God and so forth. And they went on and great things happened. But again, in the book of Acts chapter 4, these same people that received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, after they saw the threatenings of the people, they came back. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, down through the end, he says that the house was shaking together again. When they prayed and said, "Oh God, you know, stretch forth your hands by the Holy Child Jesus. Behold the threatenings of the people." The Bible says that the house was shaking together again where they were, and they were all filled again with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
So the receiving the Holy Ghost is not a one-time experience. Throughout the book of Acts, we will see that they will say somebody was full of the Holy Ghost. And he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he was full of the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, that's why the Bible says, you know, that, you know, we must, in the book of Ephesians, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to read verse 18 real quick. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. And I just want to read one verse. Just one verse there. In verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And the translation from this is actually, being filled with the Spirit. In other words, be being filled, be continuously filled with the Spirit. Stephen was about to be stoned to death in Acts 7, the Bible says, and he was full of the Holy Spirit again. He was filled even of the Holy Spirit again. You know, throughout the scriptures, these people pressed in toward the mark. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, you can stay on the water's edge, or you can go in for a swim. Praise the Lord. Like I said, you know, I do that all the time. I don't want to get in the pool. I'm always putting my feet there. And then I say, nah, I don't want to swim, you know. And that is just like spiritual things. People do that. They put their feet, they say, ah, it's too cold, I don't want to jump in. You know, jump right in, amen. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Amen. You need to jump right in. And even when you go in, one time Jesus told Paul, Peter, he said, launch out into the deep. What are you doing here on the shore? You need to launch out into the deep. Hallelujah. Amen. And when he launched out into the deep, my goodness, the Bible says he caught a multitude of fish, and his net almost break. He had to call for help. Praise ye the Lord. Now that's what's going to happen when you launch out into the deep. But as long as you stay on the water's edge, as long as it is just ankle deep, that's all you're going to get. So I want to challenge folks today. If you are, you know, and listen, even in the book of, you know, in the book of Exodus chapter 25 and in Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible describes the temple that they built in those days, how God, you know, gave the different patterns in which they should build. You know, the temple had this, they had this court, you know, that surrounded the temple. And outside the court, that was the portion of the unbelievers. You know, the unbelievers and the heathen and so forth. They were outside the court. And then when you come inside the camp, well, in the camp, then they have, you know, three tribes on the east, three tribes on the west, three tribes on the north, and three tribes on the south. You know, and so forth. That, you know, well, so if you were one of the Israelites, you could actually come into the camp. Well, that's good. You know, but some people would only stay in the camp. You know, and some people say, well, you know, gee, you know, we are in the camp already. I'm going to proceed to the temple. You know, and they can proceed, and you can see that there is progression. And when you come, you know, you can only go so far. Outside, in, you know, outside in the front, you know, there is the brazen liver that anybody can wash and so forth like that, you know. And then, you know, you can go forward and everybody can go into the temple. Well, even the priests, even among the priests, there were degrees. Some of the regular priests can only go so far. But there was one man called the high priest. He could go beyond the inner veil. Hallelujah, folks. He could go beyond the inner. Now, folks, I tell you something. You know, I'm not going to let any veil keep me out. Amen. Because in the book of Matthew chapter 27, the Bible says the veil was already rent in twain. Yes. When Christ died on the cross, the veil to the temple was rent in twain. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so there is no more veil. Yes. Let us now go boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. No veil to keep us back anymore. Why was it only the high priest that could go in there? Well, one time, David, a man after God's heart, in the days of Abiathar the priest. And Jesus gave a testimony concerning David. When they challenged David, Jesus and said, why are you doing this on the Sabbath day? Jesus said, have you not read that which David did in the days of Abiathar the priest? How he went into the house of God. Hallelujah. And how he took of the showbread that was not lawful for anybody except the high priest. Hallelujah. But David said, high priest nothing, I want that bread. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Anybody else would have been struck down. Anybody else would have been struck down. But David, he knew his God. Hallelujah. David already was in the secret place of the Most High. He already knew how to connect with God in praise and worship. And he knew, he understood the mercies of God. He understood that I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And Jesus told of David, he said, David went into that place that was not lawful. He took the bread, and not only did he eat, he also gave to his followers. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is looking for some. He said, in the last days, Amos chapter 9 and verse 11, I will raise up the spirit of David again. And I will repair the ruins that are broken down. Are there any spirit of David that can go beyond the veil and take the showbread? Hallelujah. I want to see some people of God that will rise up and go beyond the veil. Praise ye the Lord. Don't wait for your pastor to preach a sermon. You get a hold of God yourself. Go inside the veil. Don't let anything stop you. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that. Give the Lord a bigger hand clap, everybody. The Lord is looking for such people that we go beyond the veil. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. People like David and people like this Ezekiel that will not stop at ankle deep. Ha. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read to you in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, the scripture that I quoted. I will start at verse 50, in case you are wondering. And Jesus, when he cried again on a loud voice, he gave up the ghost when he was on the cross. Matthew 27 and 50. And listen to verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Hallelujah. And the earth, this that God is telling you that, look, forget all that veil stuff. Forget all that once in a year, only one person can go in. That is gone. Now God wants everybody to be a kingdom of priests. God wants everybody to be able to go in and take off that showbread. Hallelujah. And Paul said to Timothy, he said, look, these things that are given unto you, commit also to faithful men, who also will be able to commit as well. It's a chain reaction. If you can go beyond the veil and take of the bread, then you can give, like David did, he can give to his followers. Followers and so forth. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You can go in and take the bread. Praise God. But those that will go in, they are the tried ones, saith the Lord. Amen. That's right. The word of the Lord is tried in your life every single day. You know, and everything that you are going through is preparing you for something greater. Every single day. You know, so if one small thing happens to you, you know, and then you just, you know, you give up or whatever, or you lose control, then you don't know that you're setting up yourself for missing out of even greater things. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, it means your strength is small. God is not looking for strength of people who are small. Hallelujah. In fact, Jesus, he was never impressed with little, you know, all this unbelieving kind of faith and so forth. Oh, ye of little faith, he used to rebuke them, you know. But he was always impressed when there was great faith. When you can go beyond your time. There was this Syrophoenician woman. Jesus said to her, she began to say, thou son of David. Well, she was a Greek. She did not have the right to call Jesus son of David. Because Jesus was not son of David to her. Because she was outside. You know, and she began to say, son of David, and so forth. And Jesus just ignored her. So finally, you know, and Jesus said, look to her, look, I cannot take the children's bread and give it to dogs. There is a great veil here. You cannot cross. And the woman said, veil or nothing. Amen. Even if I'm a dog, I will get the crumbs. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And Jesus said, my lands, I have never seen so great faith. Not even in Israel. Hallelujah. If your veil is your prayer, your faith can pierce the veil. Hallelujah. Don't let any man-made dogmas keep you back from getting hold of the glory of God. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate, it is to divide the laity and conquer them. You know, they put all the so-called pastors and preachers on some pedestal, and all the other people are bunched up somewhere, nowhere else, you know, and so forth. That is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And the Bible says, I hate that. Because God wants everybody to be a kingdom of priests. Hallelujah. All the people, every one of us should have the Urim and the Thummim. That's right. Every one of us should be clothed with the 12 stones on the breastplate of righteousness. It shouldn't just be some pastor and some preacher and some this and some that. Amen, folks. The reason it was like that is because they said, we don't want any part of God. You go hear from God and you come tell us. Folks, that is not our portion. Amen. Yeah. Amen, folks. Yeah. Let's stand to our feet here this morning and give the Lord a hand clap if you understand that message. Yeah. Come on, folks. Give the Lord a hand clap. Yeah. That is not our portion. Yeah. We must press into the veil. Yeah. Because the veil has already been rent in half. Amen. There is nothing preventing you now. The Bible already says, let us come boldly. Amen. One time Moses said, show me thy glory, Lord. You know, Moses, he always wanted to see that glory. He always wanted to see it. That's all. Every time he wanted that glory so bad. You know, I tell you what, one day, You know, the Lord told him, he said, look, I'm going to show you my back parts and so forth like that. But in his heart, he always wanted that glory. And finally, in Matthew chapter 17, the Bible says that Jesus, when he was glorified, Moses got a sneak peek of that glory. Amen. Amen, folks. He always wanted to see, and he came and saw it. And when Jesus was transformed, Moses was there. Because in his heart, he always wanted to see that glory. Always wanted to see that glory. Folks, do you want to see the glory of God? Are you hungry for his glory? Or are you satisfied with ankle deep water? Are you satisfied with just speaking in tongues? You know, why does God let most people speak in tongues? You know, well, because it's like the burning bush that Moses saw. You know, but they, you know, the people that speak in tongues and that's all they do, they did not turn aside, you know, like Moses did. They did not go deeper. So that's all they get. So they just stop at speaking in tongues. And that's all they ever have. They just speak in tongues. And they think, well, I got it. Well, you know, speaking in tongues is great. And I speak in tongues and so on. And we believe that. You know, but there's much more. Amen. So if you speak in tongues, you must pray that you should interpret, and God will give you the interpretation of tongues. And after that, you can also receive prophecy and so forth, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and all these things. And if you have the ability to lay hands on the sick, which every believer should have, then step it up and say, Lord, I want the gifts of healing. So not only can I lay hands, I can do all kinds of healings, I can work all miracles, and I can do all of these things and so forth. There are many, many things that God can show you as you draw deeper and closer into God. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, today, being a consecration weekend and so on, what a consecration message this is, that we should draw closer and go deeper and press in deeper into that anointing. Amen. Amen. Now, there are some of you that have even yet to receive this Holy Ghost baptism, but you come to church and so forth. Well, and some of you received, but you know, whatever, you know, and so on. But I tell you what, if you're going to serve, let me tell you, there are some of you here also that are serving the Lord, you know, with one foot in the Lord and one foot outside. Well, one time I told some, you know, some of my siblings, you know, in my own family, so just a little testimony. And I said, look, if you're going to serve the Lord, you better plunge fully in. Otherwise, the devil will play ping pong with your life. You know, say, well, we are serving God and so forth. And they and then the devil continue to play ping pong with your life. Put on the whole armor of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Don't just serve God. You know, look, and there are some of you that are here today. In the book of Psalms, you know, 42. You know, you resemble that story. He said, look, I went with people to the house of God that kept holy day as it is today. But in your heart, there is a burden. You know, he said, but I was sorrowful. You know, even though I went with people that kept the holy day. But David, he knew how to walk that, you know, encouragement. Amen. Amen. David said, why art thou disquieted within me, O my soul? You know, I will yet praise the Lord. He stirred up himself. Amen. I will yet rejoice in the light of his countenance. And while I am down, the Lord will lift me up. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. But I want to tell you folks that the fullness of the blessing of God comes to you. You know, well, that's how God said it. Exodus 19 and 5. Go back and read what he said. He said, if you will hearken unto me and follow me diligently with all your heart, then I will make you a kingdom of priests. Don't serve the Lord and straddle the fence, folks. That's not going to work. You might as well be gone. Because God has no pleasure in the lukewarm. The Bible says, I will spew them out of my mouth. You should either be cold or you should be hot. God has no pleasure in lukewarmness. Amen. Pick you and choose you this day, folks, who you will serve. Joshua 24 and 15. Who will you serve? You know, if you want, look, if you want to serve God, serve him already. Yes. What is this nonsense about? You serve the Lord on this side, you serve the devil on this. What is that nonsense? Serve the Lord already. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap in the house. Oh. And behold, saith the Lord, the hour is coming in which that which is written shall be fulfilled. Let him that is unholy remain unholy. And let him that is unjust remain unjust. But let him that is holy be holy still. And let him that is righteous be righteous still. Amen. Amen. Folks, there is coming a time that God will fix it. And you will not. The Bible says, look, I will make for those that overcome. They will not go in and out. I will make them a pillar in my house. This business of going in and out, one day you come to church, the other day you are somewhere else. That's not going to work, folks.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You need to get a hold of God.
Yes.
And don't turn him loose. Don't turn loose. That's the problem with most folks. If we say, let's pray right now, within 2 minutes, most people in this house will be distracted already. Within 2 minutes. When we start a prayer, within 2 minutes, most people will be distracted. Because people cannot get a hold of God and stay there with God. And we want God to walk within our schedule. We get up in the morning and say, Lord, bless me as I go, and you jump off. You know, you're not ever going to get the glory of God that way. You must dig deep with God. Amen. Sink in your teeth and stay with God. And when God begins to move, don't turn loose. When you are on a roll with God, don't turn loose. If you have to stay there for hours, stay there. Let the whole world pass away, but you get a hold of God. He said, take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen, folks. You know, that's the reason many of us are not blessed. Because when we begin to seek the Lord, we get easily distracted. Or we pray for 2 minutes and we run off. You know, most people can't stand the presence of the Lord. They really can't. They're just like Moses. I mean, the people in the day of Moses, they really can't stand the presence of the Lord. They run off. But look, if God will find somebody that will get a hold of God, that Shekinah glory of God, the Bible says God will tabernacle in you. If God will find somebody that will get a hold of God, he said, I and my Father will come and make our abode with him. Hallelujah. God will tabernacle with you. Now, if that's you here this morning, and you say, I want more of God. Hallelujah. If you say, that's me here this morning, I want more of God. I am sick and tired of this wishy-washy lukewarmness. I want more of God. If that's, I already prayed for you folks throughout this weekend. But I'm going to pray a prayer today that is going to make a lifting. There's going to be an anointing that will bring total lifting into your life. Hallelujah. And I'm going to pray that there is a different anointing for every service, folks. And today, I'm going to pray that prayer for just a few people. I want just one person. If there's only one person in the house that says, I want more of God. I'm done with this wishy-washy stuff. Come on out, brother. Come on out. If you want God, you know, and so forth. One person. Okay, one more person. Going once, going twice. You know, if you are in the house and if it's you. Well, I don't know about you folks, but if I was there and they said one person, I would have jumped up. Because I promise you folks, by the grace of God, if there's only one person going in the rapture, that person is going to be me.
Amen.
Amen, folks.
Amen.
But I will not turn loose. So help me God. So if you are here this morning, well, maybe you didn't understand, my sense of humor. Well, you can still come. It was just some humor and so forth like that. But come if you want this anointing that will set you apart. Hallelujah. If you want this anointing that will set you apart, where you say, look, I don't just want to be an ordinary Christian. I want the fire of God in my bones. Hallelujah. You know, this is not just, I'm not talking some Pentecostal stuff here. I'm talking something that's way beyond. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you want that kind of stuff, in your life, today is the day for you. But you must start by recognizing what God already gave you.
Amen.
And then you turn aside to see this side. You seek the Lord and say, wow. What God gave you was just a bait. He baited you to come in. He baited you with his speaking in tongues. He baited you with these other things. But you must come in. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Lift up your hands, everybody here. Father, in the name of Jesus, move upon the people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Break every yoke.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Break every yoke, Lord.
Amen.
Break every yoke, Lord.
Amen.
Break every yoke, Lord.
Amen.
Everything that is holding you back, make that decision now. Yes, like that song says. I have decided to follow
Amen.
Jesus. No turning back.
Oh, yes.
No turning back. Everybody sing along.
Oh, yes.
no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me. The world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. No turning back. You take the whole world. You take the whole world. But give me Jesus. You take the whole world. But give me Jesus. You take the whole world. But give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided, to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Jesus. Have decided, Jesus, hallelujah. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I will be for me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Now the Lord hear you, even your prayer today. The Lord grant you the desires of your heart according to the word that is revealed today. And the Lord grant you abundance of grace, the mantle of grace to be upon you. I pray for every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus, the mantle of grace to be upon you, that you will press forward and you will not be denied. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. You will not be denied. You will not take no for an answer. You will press in and the Lord will reveal his glory upon you. Behold, gross darkness shall cover the people, but the glory of the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his light shall be seen upon thee. Give the Lord a praise and a shout, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. God bless your hearts. Praise God. Amen.